Let's continue from last time, and I promise today to be slower and hopefully more clear. I'm one of the organizers of ACNES, the Northeastern series of algebraic geometry meetings. The next one is at Stony Brook, so let me advertise it here to everyone. So it will be at the end of October, and everyone should register who's interested. But the reason that I bring ACNES is that we have a strict policy that for the talks, the introductory talks, no senior person is allowed, and we should we should have tried to enforce it here, because otherwise the talks tend to get technical. And anyway, so let me start with my discussion. So the plan was to discuss about the generations of K3s and Calabi-Yau's, and mention even mirror symmetry and so on. And I don't know, that's way too much. So let me stick to K3 today, and the talk will be mostly about the geometric aspect. So last time I discussed what is the situation from a Hoche theoretical point of view. And let me just mention the key points from last time. So FD is a moduli of polarized K3 surfaces, so X is K3, which is allowed to have ADE singularities, and L is ample with L square equals D. And one of the main theorems of the field is that FD is a locally symmetric variety, is the quotient of a 19 dimensional, so D19 is a type 4 domain of dimension 19. It is the same in all cases, and gamma D is basically the same thing, more or less, with O star lambda D, where lambda D is the primitive cohomology. Okay, so last time I mentioned, so one important fact is that D19 is Hermitian symmetric, and this is actually a key point, and this is not the case, so this is not the case for Calabi-Yau. And this will cause many troubles, but anyway. So D19 is Hermitian symmetric, and in this situation, we have plenty of compactification. So we have D19 mod gamma star, which is a Satake-Bailey-Borel compactification. And last time I said, this is good because it's canonical. I mean, there is no choice involved. It is minimal, in a sense that I explained yesterday, but it's very singular. These are pluses, this is a minus. One can construct resolutions of this thing, so one can construct many resolutions, and actually this is a problem. There are too many resolutions, so these are toroidal compactifications, which can be chosen to be projective and smooth, but the problem is there are too many. I mean, they depend on a choice sigma, and there are too many choices for sigma. So the question, the motivating question, is some sort of modular, meaning for one of these compactifications. So as I mentioned last time, there are two situations where we have very nice story. So one is the Delin-Mumford situation for MG. There is a compactification MG bar. And the other one is, I don't know, many people, is the story that AG has a compactification AG bar which is toroidal, and this is a special toroidal. And the point is that this is modular. And I mean, so here there is Mumford, Namikawa. And several others, and kind of the final step was done by Alexeyev. So modularity in a very strong sense. So in some sense, the K-freeze should sit somewhere in between, but the problem is still open. And today I'll survey kind of what is known and what's the connection with Hoche theory and so on, and hopefully we'll have a talk here that will be some new results. So it's not completely set, the talk, so we'll see if there is a talk. Anyway, so let's start. So if I try this quite generally, so the key tool when I try to do a geometric compactification is a semi-stable reduction. So quite generally, you may think about K3 surfaces, or in general, this is the first step always. So let's start. So I have X over D, and let me make a definition. This is semi-stable if the following three conditions are satisfied. So first of all, X, the total space, is smooth. The central fiber is simple normal crossings, and also X0 is skin theoretically reduced. So of course, I always assume this is flat, proper, and the generic fiber smooth. So theorem of Mumford is that if delta is one dimensional, so semi-stable reduction exists basically always. So this is dimension delta equals one, smooth. And in general, I should mention, is not relevant here, Abramovich. There is the weak semi-stable reduction, which doesn't quite mean semi-stable reduction in this sense, but something that can be useful in dimension delta larger than one. Okay. So now thinking about the but what is the problem? So we can arrange always, if we have a one-parameter family of K3 surfaces, we can always arrange it to be quite nice, to be of this type. But the problem is that it is far from unique. So think about, let me draw kind of a one-dimensional picture. So think about a family of curves. If I have something like this, I can always blow up. I just blow up, so the total space is smooth. I blow up a point, so blow up, random blow ups. Of a point P in X0, in X. This will be still semi-stable, nothing will happen. So for this reason, I mean, I don't want to have a situation like this. So the solution to this kind of issue, or rather partial solution, is to consider a relatively minimal model. So if you think in the case of surfaces, you have a surface, when you do a blow up, you recognize it by the fact that you have a minus one curve, you contract the minus one curve and you are quite happy. In the case of K3 surfaces, this is more complicated. Nowadays, probably it's better because we have a much better understanding of the minimal model program, but the original result is Kulikov person Pinkham, which says that if I have x over delta semi-stable after some birational, and it has to be also scalar, but let's ignore this, after birational modifications affecting only the central fiber, I can assure the following condition. I can assure the relative minimality by the fact that semi-stable family of K3s, by the way. Delta is one-dimensional, I know, so delta would be one-dimensional always in this domain. So there I just, in Abramovich, I should use some other letter, but anyway, that's a side note. So I can assure that K of X is trivial. Okay, so this means, it means that K of X is relatively nest. So this is what it means to be a relatively log minimal, relative minimal model. And it doesn't seem like much, but it turns out that actually this is quite good. Because we have a classification which is actually not that hard, so follows from basic geometric consideration and some topology, is that if X over delta is semi-stable and satisfies this K of X equals zero, so let's call it Kulikov model. So it turns out that if we have something like this, then X zero, which is a central fiber, is classified as follows. So there is a classification and we divide in three types the classification of the possible fibers. So the type one is basically smooth, or in this situation we allow X zero have worst ADE singularities. In the type two case, X zero, recall that that the hypothesis is that that the central fiber has normal crossing, so this would be a union of surfaces, and actually this would be a chain of surfaces, and it will look like this. So let's say V1, V2 up to Vk. So V2 up to Vk minus 1 are elliptically ruled. The V1, Vk are rational. And the gluing data is always E, an elliptic curve. And actually, this is something that we already seen yesterday. Without much loss of generality, one can assume that there are only two surfaces, V1, V2, rational, glued along an elliptic curve. And the type 3 is that x0 is a union of vi, so this is normal crossings, and here we have more conditions. So first of all, vi are rational surfaces. If I denote vij, the curves, the intersection of two curves, and then di, the sum over j of dij, so this is kind of sitting inside vi. The condition is that di is a chain of rational curves, a chain or cycle of rational curves. And second of all, the condition is the first condition. And additionally, sorry, di is an anticanonical cycle, so it belongs to anticanonical linear system. And the final condition is that the dual graph of x0 is a triangulation, or the dual complex of x0 is a triangulation of S2. So let me just draw. So maybe the picture is the cube, for instance. So this would be a degeneration. So here I would have a smooth K3. So this is smooth. This is X0 of type 3. So you see that the dual graph, I'm taking so the dual graph here, is the octahedron. So I'm taking a point for every component and so on. So the dual picture is an octahedron, which is a triangulation of S2. Okay, it depends on your definition, because the ABE singularities, you always have the simultaneous semistable, the simultaneous resolution. So if you don't like that, you can always resolve without. So it depends on what you mean, but anyway, so one point is that the ABE singularities you should view in this context always as smooth. So you can allow, even in this situation, you can allow to have ABE singularities. If you don't like this, you can resolve that and nothing changes. Okay, so you have these kind of three types, and so what? So maybe let's see some examples first of all. Okay. So let's take the simplest situation. So let's take degenerations of quartic surfaces. And I can take very simple degeneration. So I can take pencils. So I can take XT over P1 given by F plus TG. So this is the simplest kind of degeneration that you can think. So, okay, so this is F and G quartics. So what do you want? So you want F, so when the equation of X0 is of course given by F0, and the generic equation XT would be given by F plus TG equals 0. So what do you want to be a degeneration? This you want to be singular, and this you want to be smooth. Which of course, I mean, you just take F something special and G something generic, and you got a degeneration. So let's see what are the three types. So type 1 I mean, we know what it is, X0, and we heard it today probably in every talk. So X0 has AD singularity. So in this situation, this is like smooth, nothing happens. In the type 2 situation, so what do I want? I want something like I said there, I want two rational surfaces glued along an elliptic curve. So how do I get something like this in the case of quartics? I mean, there is something that sits in our face, so it's this one. So there are two quadrics, Q1, Q2, and they intersect along a canonical, along an elliptic curve. And finally, the type 3. Again, where do I get something like that? So again, I just take S to be the X0, X1, X2, X3, which is simply the union of coordinate hyperplanes. And my example from there, I didn't do this one, which is more natural because this is some sort of self-dual. So you see here, this is X0, this is a dual graph. Here the dual graph is again a tetrahedron. So anyway, now if you pay attention, you would have to object something. So what is the problem? So let's see. So if you pay attention, you see that I said that X over delta has to be semi-stable. And what is the first thing that you need in a semi-stable family? You need a total space to be smooth. So you need X to be smooth. But let's see, so it's kind of easy to see that in these situations, X is not smooth. Basically, X is singular. So if I call D the double curve of X0, then X is singular along D intersected with XT. So the double curve here, it will be the elliptic curve. Here the double curve will be this one, and so on. So if I have a singular curve, I will have singularities for the total, for the free fall. So this is a free fall, and I will have something like this. Actually, let's see what kind of singularities do we have here. So what are the singularities near X, near D? So you can see it from here. So the singularities, the equation of D is basically of type locally. So locally, D is of type X times Y equals 0. Then when I degenerate, I have X, Y plus T times Z. So T is a parameter of the degeneration. Z is an equation of XT. So the equation of the free fold is like this, locally near the intersection point. What is that? So this is an equation. So this is equation X. X sits locally in C4. So it's a threefold given by that equation. So this is an ordinary node. And one of the first things that you learn, so you have the problem, so you have X, which is singular, with ordinary nodes, generically, ordinary double points. But this is a free fold, and you don't have the nice situation as in the case of surfaces. We can still resolve it by blowing up, and you get the exceptional divisor. The point is that the exceptional divisor, when you resolve, would be a quadric. of dimension 2. And from, but when you do something like this, if you resolve in this way, you will get that k of x is no longer 0. You violate the minimality condition, and the reason for this is that you actually have two small resolutions. Because when you resolve it to a quadric, you can contract either of the rulings and you get two small resolutions. Which are actually the minimal models, the relative minimal models. So in our situation, so for instance, we have the this one. So what will be the intersection point? So I'll have, this is a degree 1, I will intersect it with the equation, with the G equation, so there will be 4 singular points on each double curve, and I will have to resolve it. And as I said, it's not the natural resolution, I have to pick one of the two small resolutions. So basically, I want, and this is kind of one important point, I need to blow up, but you see that this is not canonical. I can blow up this point on either of the surfaces. So you see, I can blow it up here, or I can blow it some on one side, some on the other side, and so on. So this means that kind of the central fiber when I do this is far from unique. So, and actually, let me say it. So note that the minimal model, the Kulikov model, is not unique. Because basically I can do this kind of elementary transformations, which come in essentially two types, and let me call them A and B, just not to be confusing. So one situation is that you have a minus one curve. If you contract it, you will get a singular point for the free fold. So if you contract it, each of the surfaces will be smooth. You will detect this thing only in the total space, and then you can resolve it in the opposite way. So we can move a minus one curve, can be moved from one component to the other. So this is one type of elementary modification. And the second type is if you have this kind of situation, you have a minus one curve on both sides. So you have a minus one curve sitting here. When you contract it, you get something like this, and you can resolve it, and you'll get something like this. So here you should see it. These are some surfaces, and here you kind of modify the surfaces. So these are ambiguities. Of the Kulikov model. And basically this is all, but of course this becomes very complicated because you are allowed to move curves around as you like. Okay. So let's relate to what, so let's go now to see what are kind of applications of this and what's the relation to Hoche theory and applications. So, relation to Hoche theory and applications. Okay, So first of all, recall from last time, if I have x over delta semi-stable, then the monodromy T is unipotent, and I'm considering N, which is log of T, which is log of I minus T, and now we know how to expand, and let me not embarrass here, that I will put the signs wrong, so you know how to expand log of 1 minus T. So the point is that because T is unipotent, this would be some sort of finite sum, so it's well defined. And this is defined over Q because you'll have some coefficients. In general, for surfaces, it is known that T to the cube is 1 always. So in general, in higher dimension, is T to the dimension plus 1 is 1 automatically. And you'll get, as I said, you'll get a weight filtration. And the weight filtration can be written quite easily. So weight 0, let's see where do I have it. So T to the cube equals 1. Actually implies easily that n to the cube has to be 1. T to the cube. T minus I equals 0, sorry. Okay, so what I was going to say. It's kind of easy to see that N in this situation is basically the same thing as T to minus I. You do some slight change, and which will play some important role later on. But anyway, the point is that N to the cube is 0, and N to the cube is 0, it implies automatically that, that image of N, it is containing kernel of n square and some other identities of this type, and the weight filtration, which is, it is very easy to see in the case of surfaces, will be always of this type. So the last step, the weight zero, would be image of n square. The next step is image of n intersected with kernel of l. Kernel of n, which is included in weight 2, which is image of n plus kernel of n, which is included in weight 3, which is kernel of n square, which is included in weight 4, and I didn't say where is this weight filtration leading. I said it last time, so it's on the cohomology, on the middle cohomology of XP. And as I said, it goes with Q coefficients. And N, it is a nilpotent endomorphism on X to T with Q coefficients. So this is nilpotent. So the weight filtration has to be compatible with the Hodge filtration, and using this in the case of Calabi-Yau's, one gets a little more. So basically, in the case of K3 surfaces, one distinguishes three types: type 1, n equals 0; type 2. Is n square equals 0, n different from 0, and in this situation, the situation is very simple. So one would have weight 0 equals 0, weight 1 would be image of n, It will be included in weight 2, which is kernel of n, which is included in weight 3, which is equal to weight 4, and this is everything. Okay? And there is also a type 3, which is n squared different from 0, n cubed equal 0. And in this situation, weight 0 would be image of n squared. It will be included and maybe equal to weight 1, which is included in weight 2, which is equal to weight 3, let me not write it, and which is included. Am I right? Maybe not. Yeah, I'm right. Weight 4. So the point that I wanted to make here is that the relevant part, it is the graded piece 1, the graded piece 2, and the graded piece 3 in this case, and in this situation is simply how does it go? Something is wrong here. I don't know. So the relevant part in this one, so let me, this is what I have. Anyway, so for sure here the relevant part are only graded piece 0, 2, and graded piece 4 of weight. So I see that this is correct. Maybe this is not correct, maybe. I don't know. Anyway. No, it's correct because I have weight minus 1 equals 0, which fits in weight 0, so the relevant part is from here to here. That's right. Okay, so we have type 1, type 2, type 3. We have type 1, type 1, type 3. So no surprise here is that I think this is a proposition, not even a theorem. So basically, Klemenschmidt. Which kind of relates the cohomology of x0, h2 of x0 with h2 lim. Using Klemenschmidt implies that type 1, type 2, and type 3 geometric implies type 1, 2, 3 Hoche theoretic respectively. So if you have a Kulikov degeneration with geometric fiber of that type, you get the monodromy condition of that type. And and an immediate corollary here, so corollary of the Kulikov first and Tinkham, is that the period map for algebraic K3s, let's say polarized K3s, is proper. And kind of the proof is kind of two lines. So if I have something polarized, I have something like this. I have the period map delta star going to T mod gamma T. So, of course, I want to extend this one here to extend it. So, if this one extends here, I want to say that the period map also extends. That I can fill it with, that there exists a K3 surface filling in here. But if I have such a degeneration, I can fill it in a random way. Then I can apply the semi-stable reduction plus Kulikov. And I can arrange to be also polarized and so on. And the point is that if the central fiber X0 is of type 2 or type 3, the monodromy is not finite, which means I go to the boundary. So I can fill it in somehow, I can arrange it to be nice filling in, and if the monodromy is not finite, it means that I go to the boundary. So it means that the only kind of filling in such that I have this kind of extension here is with a K3 surface of type 1, which means I have AD singularities, and possibly I apply Driscoll if you want, and like that. Okay. So what else do we know here? Yes. No. So the one. So I have the moduli space. I want to prove that FD maps to D mod gamma D is proper. So I apply the numerical criterion of properness. So I'm taking delta star. I fill in it. And I want to say that there exists, so I fill it in delta here, and I have a list here. That was my argument from there. So I'm not compactifying yet. Okay? So what about the compactification? That's what was the last time. So last time I mentioned that the Bailey-Borel compactification records the graded with respect to weight pieces of H2 limb. Last time I also mentioned that in the case of type 3, so 4K3s, the boundary, so the Bailey-Borel boundary, so the boundary of this thing is points corresponding to type 3 and curves, which are modular curves, H mod gamma prime, which corresponds to type 2. So let's see in our geometric situation. So now we have more. We know what is type 2 and what is type 3. So let's see what... an upper half space module on arithmetic group, I should think about some elliptic curve lurking around. And obviously, I did already the example last time. So I have the elliptic curve sitting as the intersection of the two surfaces. And basically, I explained last time that the Hodge structure looks like this. So it has H1 of the elliptic curve going to H2 of X0 going to something else, which is basically some sort of C. Okay, some sort of Z to some rank going to 0. So this is a pure Hodge structure of type 1-1. So now what is the information here? You see, so here I have some continuous information, which is the modulus of this elliptic curve, and here some sort of discrete information, which is actually some sort of lattice. So the Bailey-Borel compactification basically encodes the modulus of this elliptic curve. And you see, so the compactifications, and we'll see this picture in a moment, will look like this. So there will be a bunch of type 2 components, and typically only one type 3 component. And so the type 2 component is a curve. This means that in the closure of the curve, there will be a type 3 component. So the modulus of the curve will be this elliptic curve, the modulus of this elliptic curve. The discrete data will determine which of the type 2 components and so on. In the type 3 case, there is basically no modulus. So actually, it looks kind of interesting. So in this situation, the host structure will look something like this, H2 of S0, H2 of X0 going to some lattice here. So this would be pure of type 1-1. This would be actually pure of type 0-0. There is a taste twist sitting around. And this would be an extension. So this would be an extension of a graded piece 2 and a graded piece 0. This would be something like weight 0. This would be the graded weight 2. But here the point is that there is no modulus, and in some consequently there will be some sort of no modulus for this thing. Okay. But unfortunately, so there is no modular meaning for the Bailey-Borel compactification. I mean, in some sense, we lose too little information in some sense. So one hope it is to get some meaning for some sort of toroidal compactification, because the toroidal compactification kind of encodes the full limit mixed Hodge structure. But pay attention that here I have to make a choice, which I don't know how to make it. So some new ideas. So this is kind of the story, and this is kind of the classical story. So some new idea appeared with the work of Kohler, Shepard Baron. And Alex Sayed. So basically the idea of this story is that if you have M, a moduli space of surfaces of general type, then you can compactify this thing to M bar, which are surfaces S such that they are semi-low canonical. So this is some conditional singularities, and kind of K of S is ample. Now, if you want to do this game in the case of K3 surfaces, unfortunately, K of S would not be helpful. Is trivial. This is why in the case of curves the situation is much better. You kind of throw in a divisor. So you take S and B, so this is K3, let's say, and this is a boundary divisor. And then you require that K of S be to be ample. So K of S will be trivial, so you require to have an ample divisor. So did I say, okay. So the Kohler, Shepard, Baron tells you if you have a moduli space of surfaces of general type, there exists a rather canonical compactification that's obtained in this way. You can modify this to work for log general type surfaces. So this is a case of K3 surfaces. And let me say, so theoretically, no one knows how is this compactification looking. There exists a PD, which is a compactification of X and D, such that, so X is a degenerate K3, D is an ample divisor, and the condition on singularities is X epsilon D is SLC. And of course, you need to have something like D squared equals D. X is a surface, a degenerate K3 surface. I should put it in this way. So I require that I have an ample divisor and this pair to be SLC, and the degenerate condition is that there exists a one parameter smoothing to a honest K3 surface. And here you have the PD here, which are smooth K3s plus a divisor. Now, of course, if you have such a pair X and did I call it D, then you can go to X OXD, which is a line bundle. You have a forgetful map, and here is this FD that we talk about. So let's see. So this is a geometric compactification. This is a PG bundle. And this is a space that you want to compactify. And this is isomorphic to D by gamma. So in our dreams, you would want, so kind of a pipe dream or something like this, would be there exists some sort of toroidal compactification here. And some sort of flat map here that would extend this diagram. So the basic questions are actually two. So first of all, what is this PD bar? And second of all, do we have such a diagram? There is a lot of work, and I should mention some work here. So this is Gross, Hacking, Kiel. There is also some work of myself and Hacking. There is some unpublished work of Alex Sales. And something that maybe we'll hear here. There is some work of Thompson. I'm running out of time, so let me just give you an idea here what we expect. So actually, we expect that D by gamma sigma to exist, but not toroidal, rather, and let me not pronounce the name because I would embarrass myself, so they are the semitoric compactifications. So they are the semitoric compactifications. And let me give a hint why this should be so. So kind of hint. It is kind of the low degree cases. So this means degree 2, 4, or 6. And what's happening in low degree cases? The basic idea is that you have FD GIT. So you have a GIT construction. So for instance, GIT for quartic surfaces. And a theorem of Sha, and we hang up, tells us that this GIT doesn't quite coincide, tells us there is the following diagram. It tells us FT GIT has a resolution FT hat which maps to the Bailey-Borel compactification. This would be some sort of Kirwan type blow up. This would be a Hanger blow up, and this turns out to be a semi-toric compactification. So, in joint works of myself and my student June, we believe that we can extend this diagram kind of to have something like this. In the case of, we are working only in the degree 2 case, so we expect that this PD bar actually maps to here, and we still have to prove that this is flat. And so what is the, okay, so maybe you should ask, what is the semi-toric compactification? Remember last time I said that a toroidal compactification, it means that you choose a fan that is finite with respect to gamma. Semi-toric, it means that the fan is only locally finite. You can still have an infinite number of faces kind of going at the boundary. And in particular, semi-toric compactifications are the Bailey-Borel compactifications. And let me stop here.